We study only Dhamma practice. That's the only thing that we teach here. Practice. Mindfulness practice, wisdom practice. Sometimes when we practice, we focus on Asatipatthana, mindfulness practice. There are two paths. The first path is to make our mind has mindfulness, and the second part is to make our mind have wisdom. Mindfulness is the one that notice what happened to the body and the mind, and the wisdom is the one that understands the truth about body and mind. The part that make us enlightened is the wisdom part, but without mindfulness there's no wisdom, so mindfulness is necessary. Mindfulness happens because the mind remember the state of the mind. The only way the mind remember each state of mind is that the mind see it often. If the mind see some state rarely, then the mind don't remember that state. For example, if you don't see someone for 20 years, you're not gonna remember them because you rarely see them. But if you see them every day, you're gonna remember. Same thing. The only way the mind has mindfulness is that the mind remember because the mind see that state very often. So the practice is to make the mind see state oftenly. And what you need is like the home base for the mind. For example, breathing. Breathing in, you feel your body and your mind. Breathing out, you feel your body and your mind. So whatever occurs to the mind, you're gonna see. For example, when the mind get angry, the breathing gonna get heavier, and that's how the mind notice that anger. The meaning of having a home base for the mind is that the mind will stay with that home base. Or when you're sitting down or when you are walking, you feel your body, you feel your mind. You lie down, you feel your body and your mind. Keep feeling, keep sensing the body and the mind. When you move your body, the mind will remember. Once Longpa go to study or observe the teaching of Longpa Tian. Longpa Tian was teaching how to move the hands, 14 movements. So Longpa at that time was watching. When Longpa Tian teach, when Longpa Tian spoke, his hands are moving, but Longpa Tian's mind is not getting lost. So when Longpa observe, Longpa see that Longpa Tian is one of the great teacher. But why when Longpa observe his student, the student keep thinking about what is the next move. Some student can move very fluently, but the mind move away. So they only move the hands without having mindfulness. Someone have to think what is next move. Those are the ones that has no mindfulness as well. For the ones who can move the hand fluently, but the mind wandering around, those also not having mindfulness. So Longpa conclude that Longpa Tian's practice method is right. So Longpa start practicing the same movement, but 14 movement was too much for Longpa, because Longpa at that time prone to have anger easily. So 14 movement just too much. So Longpa only move just the hand, but moving the hand, but feel the body and the mind. And Longpa realized that it's the same. So the number of movement is not that important. The important part is moving your body, feeling your body and your mind. So Longpa practice body movement as the base for the mind. So Longpa practice hand movement for a few days. One day, Longpa was walking and he saw one of his old friends. And that's one of the friends that Longpa has not seen for a long time. So he became glad. And when he was glad, Longpa did not notice the happiness in his mind that he sees his friend. So Longpa moved his feet to walk towards that friend. But when Longpa practiced, it was hand movement. But the mindfulness actually occurs when the feet moves. So Longpa concludes that whatever part of your body moves, if you practice the right way, it's the same thing. It's like walking practice. All body movement practice have the same principle, and that's to have mindfulness and have your body movement or body part movement as the home base for the mind. Yesterday, Longpa taught that if you have prone to get angry, so having anger may be the right practice for you. Observe the mind that has anger and observe the mind that does not have anger. Or someone may be good at observing the mind moves. So when the mind moves, observe that the mind moves. When the mind is a stable observer, observe that the mind now is a stable observer. You can practice observing some state of mind that occur a lot with your mind. If you want to have anger, that's the state of mind you have to observe often. So whenever something come in contact with your eyes, your thought, your mouth, your nose, and you get angry, the mind notice that, oh, you're angry now. And Longpa stressed that this is what happened. And anger has to happen first, and then you observe it later. This is one of the difference between observing the mind and the body. Observing the body, you observe the same at the same time as when you observe your mind. But when you observe the state of mind has to happen first, like anger has to happen first. But the mind remembers the state of angry, of being angry. So when the mind observe and see that there's anger, anger already fall. Observing state of mind is to observe after the state of mind already happened. But observing the body, the mind observe at the moment that the body is moving. So observing the mind, you observe after a state of mind occur. But you observe right after it happened. If you get angry yesterday and you notice today, it's not the right practice. It has to be you get angry and you observe right after. So when you observe a state of mind or your feeling or your state of mind has to occur, and then you observe right after. So keep observing what happened to the mind right after it happened. When anger disappears, you observe that, oh, it disappears now. It's like right next to the present. Some students ask Longpa that they have practiced for a long time, but when they get angry, they don't notice. So Longpa said the only way you practice is you get angry first and you know later, not at the time when you get angry, because anger is gilet and mindfulness has no gilet, so they cannot occur at the same time. So when your mind has craving, then you observe that the mind has craving. So you observe after craving occur. So keep following what happened to the mind. There are three stages of observing the mind. The first one is you don't wait for something to happen to the mind. So you have to let the mind be natural and let state of mind occur naturally. Something happen first, then observe later. Don't wait for it to happen. Someone practice by staring at the mind to see what will happen next. When will the next anger will occur? Anger will never arise because that is the time when you try to control your mind. If you keep controlling your mind will become happy, but it will not lead to nirvana. It will lead you to Brahma realm. So before you observe something, some phenomenon of the mind, don't wait for it to happen. Just let the mind be natural. Something happen, observe right after. Number two, while you are observing the mind, observe like an outsider seeing something happen. Don't get inside and become one with the state of mind that you observe. So the key why you observe is to be a stable observer, like an outsider watching something happen, like you are walking along on the side of the road and you see something happen on the road, or you see something like you are standing on the building and you look down on the street and you see cars come and gone. But while you're observing, if you get right in the middle of the street, the mind will get confused. Just have to be an outsider observer. Or if you live right next to the river, you have to observe like you are standing on the side of the river. So the second step is to observe from afar. Don't get inside. It's the same as when you watch boxing. You watch boxing. You always have to be at the side of the ring, not inside of the ring. Because if you get inside the ring, you're not gonna be able to observe anything. So the key is to watch your mind as if you are seeing somebody else's mind, or you are seeing something else. So watch as if an observer, an outsider, and you're gonna see things clearly. If you are a boxer, you fight with someone in the ring, you're gonna don't understand why you think you box very well, but some observer outside of the ring, they see that you don't fight too well. When you watch as an outsider and just observe, it will be an observing without any bias. Watch as an outsider, anger arise. It's like somebody else get angry, not you get angry. So don't jump into the state of the mind. If you jump to the state of the mind, you will not see them clearly. So number one, don't wait for something to happen. Observe right after. Number two, watch as outside observer. Number three, after you observe a state of mind, your mind have to be neutral. Now, naturally, when you observe something, the mind gonna be not neutral. Like something happen, the mind become happy. Or when kilet happen, the mind become unhappy. So the third step is to have the mind at neutral state. Or when the mind is not neutral, observe that the mind is happy or unhappy. Second step, observe as an outsider. And the third step is, when something occurs, you observe and you feel happy or you feel unhappy, observe that happiness or unhappiness. That is the right way of observing. And that's how the mind becomes stable observer. The mind that is neutral is the mind that don't become biased with good or bad states of mind. Don't wait for something to happen while observing. Observe as an outsider. There is no gain and there is no loss for external observer. And when you observe something, observe the reaction of the mind to that state that you observe. So the key is to observe the state of mind as they are. Not observe and want the mind to be something. So keep practicing, keep watching, keep observing. Observing the body is the same. The key difference is when the body moves, you know right at the moment that the body moves. So someone walk, raise the foot, or the foot is step down on the ground. If the mind become one with the foot, that's not the right observer. So you have to observe the body movement as if you are an outsider, as if there's no loss, there's no gain from that body movement. And when body move, if the mind become happy or unhappy, just observe that reaction of the mind. The only difference between observing body and observing your mind is only the first step. The first step, observing your body, you observe right at the moment. But when you observe the mind, you observe right after something happened to your mind. One of the mistakes that many practitioners make is that when they practice observing the body, the mind become one with the body part. For example, when Long Pa is teaching now, Long Pa see that his body, his mouth is moving. Now, when you observe, if you see Long Pa body moving, that's not good. It's observing your own body and your own mind. If you see something and you feel that craving, it's about learning about yourself. If you forget about your body, if you forget about your mind, that's not good. Seeing somebody else's body movement or seeing somebody else's mind, that's not a practice. Now, when you keep practicing, you have to have the right state of meditation as well. When you watch your body, the body move, feel. Like right now, everyone is breathing. Long Pa said, everyone keep breathing, don't stop breathing. Observe the body breathe, breathing in, breathing out. And observe the body breathing in, breathing out. With the mind that is relaxed, natural. When the mind is relaxed, the mind would be happy. And when the mind is happy, the mind would get into the right state of meditation. Then focus your mind on the breath. Just observe the body breathing in and breathing out. Same thing with observing the mind. Craving occur. If the mind jump to that craving, that's not right. Just have to observe craving occur from a distance. And when you have craving, the mind become unhappy. Just observe that unhappiness. So the key in mindfulness practice, the Buddha taught that You have to watch part of your body and observe that body. When guilt occur, when craving occur, just observe that, and it's all the same. When you practice the body, when you practice the mind, when you observe your body, the neutral mind would have no happiness or unhappiness about that movement. So, mindfulness practice is about observing, and observing is from having mindfulness. The wisdom comes from when you observe a state of body and the mind, and the mind actually know by itself that body movement, the mind movement, they all occur naturally, cannot be controlled. And that's the common characteristic of our state of body and mind. So when the mind has that wisdom that things occur on its own, uncontrollable, temporarily, and suffering, the mind would gradually become neutral. So when happiness occurs, you know that happiness arises and then it will fall. So the mind don't become too glad when happiness occurs. The mind become neutral to that happiness, and it's applied to all the state of mind. When the mind has wisdom, the mind knows whatever happens, it will fall. Body breathing in, it will disappear, and then it become body breathing out. Everything that occurs will fall. So when the mind has that wisdom that things occur and things will disappear, happiness occur, the mind will not become glad. Unhappiness occur, the mind will not become too much to suffer. So this is the key. The key is to practice until the mind become natural. And it has to be natural because the mind has wisdom. If the mind is neutral to our fabrication of the mind, that's the state of mind that is right next to enlightenment. Long Pa describe about fabrication of the mind. Whatever the mind fabricate, whatever state of mind that the mind fabricates, the mind become neutral to whatever it fabricates. Suffering, happiness, good, bad, the mind is neutral to all that. You see, the mind move, the mind fight because the mind wanna keep that happiness, or the mind wanna drive away that unhappiness. When the mind wanna keep something, it's like the mind want to have some state of mind to stay. Or when the mind want to drive away some state of mind, that's like the mind dislike that state of mind. So all that like and dislike all lead to the mind moving, fighting. If the mind is neutral to good, bad, happy, unhappy, there is no more craving, no more wanting, no more wanting to become enlightened. The mind will stop moving. The mind will stop fabricating. The mind will let go. The mind will let go of the sixth sense. The mind will become into the right state of meditation. When the mind let go of everything, Long Pa describe about meditation state. When the mind become neutral, the mind get into meditation state, and the mind will practice wisdom for a few moments inside that state of meditation. When the mind become meditate, and something occur, the mind will be neutral. The mind will just follow whatever happened neutrally. There's no bias. so the mind will understand truly something happened, something arise, something will fall. There is no craving, there is no wanting. The mind only sees something happen and gone, and the mind don't even know what happened. It's just something happened. Then the mind will let go, and the wisdom, that wisdom will cut away all those gilets that make you an ordinary people to become a noble one. So the mind will get into the state that enlightenment would occur. And when enlightenment occurs, the light will appear. The enlightenment state will occur for a few moments. After the state of enlightenment occurs to the mind will come back. The mind will come out of that meditation state, and the mind will now look back at what just happened, and the mind will know what happened is gilet was destroyed because of wisdom, because of enlightenment occur, or gilet is destroyed because of just meditation or mindfulness. Or this process occur very very quickly. So only the one who get into enlightenment state with enough power of meditation will see that or that process step. For someone without meditation power of the mind, they will see that something happened like a foot fall from the tree. Knowing that something happened, one of the things that happened during enlightenment is that there gonna be something that is separate. So the highest level of gilet will get separate from the mind. Long Pao once asked Long Pu Dun, how many times enlightenment has to happen? And Long Pu counting his finger, and Long Pu Dun said, it will happen 4 times. Has to be 4 times. The first 3 times, when gilet was separate from the mind, it will come back. Only the 4th time that it will be gone permanently. This is similar to dust upon and dust up water plant on the surface of the water. If you throw a rock into the pond, water will spread out, and that water plant will spread out, and then it will come back to cover the surface of the water again. Only the 4th time is when that water plant is gone permanently. This is not logic. This is a noble truth. The Buddha did not describe nirvana or enlightenment just like what they are, but the Buddha also teach how to get there. Other field of study, like the great people, they have utopia, but they don't have a method to get to utopia. When the Buddha teach about nirvana, and the Buddha also teach about how to get there, the method to get to the state of enlightenment. So it's not a philosophy, it's real. And the only one who practice and experience that enlightenment is the one who truly know. This is the only path to freedom of from suffering. So keep practicing mindfulness. Keep observing body and mind as they are. Observing the body right at the moment, observing the mind right after it happened. And observe as an outsider, and observe what happened with the mind that is neutral. One day, when everything is complete, when everything is ready, enlightenment would occur on its own, and you will know for sure that the Buddha is real. Noble ones are real. in your own mind.